Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Heroes software and employment law consultancy services.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a special episode of the HRER podcast. We are a year old.
It's our birthday.
As you can see, everyone, we've got a cake. Zoom in on the cake, Alex. we've got a cake. And yet, this episode is just going to be a little compilation of, like, best bits and
yeah. I can't believe we've been doing this a year.
No, I can't.
It's flown by, frankly. And I can't believe actually we're still doing it, that people are still listening.
No.
Which has got to be, you know, huge thank you to everybody who has continued to tune in. I've been saying that since episode one as well. No one tunes in anymore. Download, stream, whatever it is that the crazy kids doing these days. You know, that's kept us coming back week after week. It's been really good so far. Here's to getting on for year two.
Here's to many more. Our baby is 1 year old. So, yeah, as we say, we're going to be looking at some compilation bits today. But before we do, what was your favourite one? Just out of curiosity.
It's my favourite. I'm going to go old school.
Go
right back to the first episode, which is, you know, is sniffing a shirt sexual harassment?
Oh,
so if
classic.
We remember that one where we had the staff member who was caught on site at a client's house sniffing a bathrobe.
One bathrobe, yeah.
Yeah, a bathrobe, yeah.
There's a jacuzzi in there as well.
Yeah, it's jacuzzi servicing, wasn't it? So they're caught getting in the jacuzzi and, sniffing the model's bathrobe.
That seems like ages ago,
doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. What about yours?
I'm going to say the recruitment one where he was a killer or a prisoner. Oh, I forget.
Oh, the murderer.
He was a murderer and he was fitting windows for people.
Yeah. Which, he was doing the snagging, wasn't he? Yeah.
That guy. That was probably close between that and the OnlyFans one, but yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to get into the clips now. I hope you enjoy it. Before we do...
Am I going to do the honors?
Please,
I'm going
to
blow out the candle.
You go.
Without burning the place down.
I'll hold it for you. Go on. Yay.
Hey.
Well done, Oz. When are you too fat to work? So I'll start by reading off the... This feels weird because I haven't done this in a while.
Well, we like to get into the difficult topics as well, don't we?
So we do,
This is a good one.
Sensitive one. And, I'll rattle off the email. So... Bit of a sensitive topic. We have had to procure three specialist chairs for Callum over the last 4 years. The chairs are not cheap, and the last one was custom made and was thousands of pounds. He's recently submitted a request for another one. The reason being that he has outgrown the chair. This has been the case with the two previous ones. He has gained weight this year and is now morbidly obese. We have considered options such as working from home so he would get more comfortable, but he wants to be in the office as he says it is the only time he gets out. He has confirmed there are no underlying health conditions as the cause of his obesity, other than an addiction to food and sugar generally, don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
In a day, he will typically have several takeaways delivered to the office, which he will eat at his desk. What do? We are genuinely concerned about his health. We are not a large company, and this does represent a significant expense for us.
So difficult and a sensitive topic. You know, it's we're talking about someone's personal appearance. I can't imagine it was an easy request for Callum to make to ask for another chair.
Awkward.
This was number three, number four? Three
four.
Specialist chairs. This is the fourth.
This is fourth, yeah.
So this has been an issue that was ongoing for a long time. And like I say, you know, a difficult one to discuss, particularly for HR. You know, they've reached out to come for help on this one because they're wondering, can they say no to this at this point?
Mm.
And at what point is it the employee's problem rather than the employer's problem?
Well, you're here to answer all them questions. I've got much expertise.
Let's
on
make
the
you
matter.
Feel distinctly uncomfortable right
yes,
at the start.
I don't know the answer.
The shoe
to that.
On the other foot.
Please don't put me
so,
in the corner.
Yeah, in this situation, we've got Callum, who he's confirmed there's no underlying issues other than addiction. He's too big for his chair, and in this situation, he was an extraordinarily large individual. So we're
Can
not
we put
talking
a figure
about
on that. number?
I mean, I'm not very good at this sort of thing in terms of guesstimates on, you know, when you go to like a fair and it's like, guess how many sweets are in a jar against the weight of the pig. Yeah, I'm always way off. Yeah. But he a very, very large person to the extent where he struggled with his mobility. He walked using physical aids, and he was actively seeking medical support for things like sores.
Oh god!
So we are talking about someone who is very, very large.
Skin overlaps, doesn't it?
Yeah, this isn't like a Weight Watchers Slimming World for 6 months, and we're all back to normal. This is someone who had a really, really serious problem.
It's an addiction, eh?
It is, yeah, addiction. So, what this sort of topic raises is the debate about whether somebody like this would be protected from discrimination.
Okay.
And that is what the client was getting at here when they were asking this question is, basically, do we have to provide a reasonable adjustment? So we've talked about disability discrimination in the past, how when you've got someone who is suffering with a disability, an employer has got an obligation to make reasonable adjustments. So we're leveling the playing field for somebody at work. So if someone has a disadvantage because they've got a disability, we level up. We want to make things a little bit easier for them so that everybody can compete at the same level. The debate has raged for years about obesity and whether that is a disability in itself.
So what point is it self-inflicted? You know what I mean? It's blurred line, isn't it?
That's a separate question as well, is if something's self-inflicted and it becomes a medical problem, is it still a disability? Which it would be.
Or is it self-harm? Strange way of putting it, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that again, we're getting down a rabbit hole with that one.
Yeah.
But we have got this campaigners here. I'm just going to sidestep that one. let's not get the house burnt down over that question. You've got campaigners who are arguing that obesity in itself should be a protected characteristic. So what I mean by protected characteristic is the categories of things that will give people protection at work. So we can't treat someone differently because they're a woman. So sex discrimination, we can't do that. We can't treat someone badly because they're pregnant. Pregnancy discrimination. We can't treat someone badly because of their race or their beliefs. We also can't treat somebody badly because of disability. So it's whether obesity gets added to that list or not.
Right.
Currently, obesity is not a protected characteristic. But if somebody has got serious medical issues because they're obese, they could well be protected as a disabled person because of those conditions. So say, for example, we take Callum. He had significant issues with his joints. So I believe he had arthritis and it caused mobility issues because of, I think, the sheer weight and issues through his joints. Yeah. Because of that as an issue, he would be protected as a disabled person. So it's not the obesity that would give him the protection under discrimination legislation. It's the medical issues that have come out of the fact that he's so overweight, whether it's self-inflicted or not.
Okay.
So that's the status in terms of the law. So because of his sort of surrounding health conditions that have arisen because of his weight, he is going to be protected under discrimination legislation.
Okay.
You don't know where to go with that now, do you?
I don't know how I sit on that, to be honest, because it's... I don't experience obesity, obviously. Yeah. I don't experience food addiction or anything like that. I get addictions, but at what point does the employee have to be seen as trying to help themselves? And do you know what I mean? Before
it's the self-inflicted argument that I think gets people so wound up about this. So there's obviously people who have got medical conditions that cause them to gain weight.
Yeah,
there are. You know, that's undisputable. There are things out there that will cause people to gain weight. There's also people who have got issues with self-control and addiction, which also cause them to gain weight. Mm-hmm. And it was actually this issue that meant that I got my BBC contributor slot on the radio. So I wrote a blog years ago when I was a baby lawyer, and Katie Hopkins shared it on Twitter. And with the aggressive feelings that often follow some of her postings that then sort of litter the internet.
Does she agree with you?
She did on
what you said.
She did, which I don't know if that's a good thing. I'll have to dig the article out and see if we can reshare it. I thought I was very measured, but clearly if Kate Hopkins...
I bet she grabbed it and went.
But it was so divisive and the topic's seen as something that sparked so much debate that actually led to my BBC Radio contributor slot. So it's something that has raged for years. And I think that was 12, 13, 14 years ago. You know, so this is not a new topic
no.
In that respect. So what we need to think about now with this one is, well, what does the employer do? Mm-hmm. So as you've pointed out, you know, where do we talk about self-help and someone kind of trying to improve their own lot versus making this the responsibility of the employer?
Hi, Alyssa. This is a new one for me and no idea how to handle it. You will remember Paul. We had a chat about him 6 months ago about his performance issues. His job is to write new content and knowledge guides for the business and provide knowledge support to customers of our resources. Well, Paul's line manager noticed that something seems to have changed. At first for the better, Paul was completing work quicker and was generally more settled at work. However, a couple of quality issues were spotted, specifically with the accuracy of some of the content. We have a monitoring clause in our contracts, so we reviewed his computer activity and found that Paul is using ChatGPT to complete his work and is spending the rest of his time watching snooker and playing virtual poker online. Everyone has quality issues from time to time, but these ones are clearly been caused by ChatGPT as Paul is just copying the text across. It feels like cheating, but technically his work is getting done, so I'm not sure where we go with this.
So like you say, real hot topic. And actually you think, well, you can understand why the employer would be a bit stumped here. Saying, well, technically the work's getting done, but it's not being done in the way that we would expect. And we've got quality issues as well. So there'd be a few queries that I would want to establish from the employer here. He's given us quite a lot of detail, but we haven't actually got everything that we need yet, really, for us to kind of delve into some advice here. So I would be going back and asking for a bit more information, such as, do you have a policy about AI? Have you got a rule book that says what we can do with it and what we can't? And also, what does your GDPR policy say? Because if he is plugging in company information into ChatGPT, potentially he could be in breach of your GDPR rules. We don't know necessarily where that information goes when it goes into ChatGPT, and he could well be releasing company information out onto the World Wide Web. So initially, I'd be going back and asking for, do you have these policy documentations? Are there any rules in place? If we don't have rules in place and there's no policies, it's not, oh, well, try harder next time. There's still something that we can do about this, but we've got to get into the nitty gritty and making sure that we are dealing with this in a good procedural way.
Okay. You mentioned there an AI policy. Mm-hmm. Is that something you're seeing a bit of this year? People are more interested in that sort of setup?
Yeah. Top of the shopping list. People want AI policies. Even if they don't really do anything with computers, even if their staff aren't really using them, they want an AI policy because the internet tells them they need one. So it's absolutely something that we're getting asked for regularly. And what I would say with most businesses is they are setting out the ground rules for how AI can or can't be used with work. So in my world, for example, legal resources, we're seeing very clear messages from the big providers. Do not copy and paste our resources into ChatGPT. They don't allow it under the terms of their licenses. That is their intellectual property. They own that information. They don't want it being circulated on the internet in that way. If you have a company that has no idea what they are talking about when it comes to AI, it could be very basic. It might be you don't even want people going on ChatGPT in the workplace. Or it could be, yes, we'll use it, but within these parameters, and this is the information that you can and can't put into there.
Interesting. Another thing as well, from that email there, the first thing that sort of jumped out to me, I'm obviously a little bit green around the whole employment law scene, the monitoring clause. I imagine that's like quite a keen preventative measure. That's something you see a lot of as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's how they've established what it is that he's doing here. So, you know, gold star that they've got the monitoring clause in there.
Absolutely.
And they're using it to, you know, look at, they've seen a change in this guy's performance. They've seen a change in the way that he's working. And the only way that they're necessarily going to establish that is either by speaking to him or monitoring what he's doing. My preference would always have been first to have that conversation with him rather than jumping straight to monitoring. But okay, provided that they are following the terms of that monitoring clause, they can look at his computer activity and see what's going on. And what's been established in this case is that he is on work time using his computer, a work computer, to watch the snooker and play virtual poker. Those are not work activities. That's not what he is paid to do.
Truth or lie, employee alleged affair with HR.
This is a good one.
Yeah, big one.
It's a juicy one, this one.
Let's get straight into it. HR crisis story that you received. Mm-hmm. Hi, Alyssa, we need your help. Dave, a problematic employee, repeatedly breaks company rules, including speeding in the company car and attempting to shift the blame to a colleague. He gets drunk at trade shows, has received complaints for misogynistic and aggressive behaviour, and shows explicit images to colleagues, leading four to block him on WhatsApp. Additionally, he has 9 missing work days in the last 4 months. When warned by his manager, he threatened the company, claiming he had an affair with HR and would share compromising messages and images if action was taken against him. Where do we start?
So, like I say, a lot to unpick in this one. So this is... sort of give you the context. This is a company where they manufacture and sell trade paints. So, you know, for trade painters, decorators that are going out and want to, you know, paint buildings.
The factory type.
Yeah. So they're manufacturing the paint, and then you've got people who go out to the trade shows and they're sort of, you know, selling their paint on the stands. This chap, he was relatively switched on in that he kind of knew how to play the system. So he's one of those where disciplinary would be brought, immediately bangs in a grievance, goes off on sick.
You know,
he's been through this before. But this one was a first for me. So they have quite a large HR team, this business. So when we're talking about, which, you know, that's what everyone's ears are going to pricked up to here, isn't it, is... affair with HR. Is this person was part of a larger team. So there were other people in HR then that we were dealing with on this one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we didn't put them in the position where they were having to discuss their own their own conduct with us and sort of take advice. So we were speaking to another member of the HR team regarding this one, and a member of the senior leadership team as well, over how we handle this. But yeah, lots to unpick. So we've got some poor behaviour from this guy, someone who knows how to play the system, and then also is alleging, so we at this point when the query comes in, we don't know what the truth of the matter is. He's alleging that he's had an affair with HR and that he has these images to back up what's been going on.
He sounds like a real all-round bad egg.
Oh, lovely guy. Yeah, you know, just salt of the earth, you know, just the sort of person that you want to sit next to at the Christmas party.
Definitely. I mean, the trade shows bit as well, was he in like a, that sounds like in a sales role?
So, yeah, he was, I don't know if he was a demonstrator or a sales guy. I can't quite remember with this one. But yeah, was out and about. So it was entirely field based. He wasn't ever really sort of at head office. So, I mean, yeah, so I don't actually know how he came across HR to have this alleged affair. But yeah, out and about representing the company, you know, covered in company branding, very much kind of part of the company's public image. And generally, by all accounts, would take trade shows as a excuse to drink lots of free alcohol and make himself the center of attention.
Joke with people. Like,
yeah, so he believed he was life and soul of the party at these sorts of things. But yeah, the allegations that we would get coming out of these, and actually from other people. So I think at some of these shows, would they end up on the same sort of order of stands as the same companies? So, you know, they sort of do the rounds and everyone's at the same sorts of shows, but different parts of the country. And one of the complaints that the company had came from the neighbouring stand, who were just kind of sick of this guy.
Oh, God.
That he'd be drinking during the day, so drunk on stand.
I'd probably smell it on him, I'd imagine.
Yeah, not just kind of events afterwards, you know, when they all sort of congregate in the evening, and misogynistic, sexist language as well whilst he was on the stand, and actually while he was trying to make the sales as well, sort of using really inappropriate language whilst he was engaging with members of the public. So we had a real problematic individual where you're thinking, you know, this behaviour falls well below standard. We're probably well within the realms of wanting to discipline this person. Mm-hmm. And then he drops this bomb, which is, been having an affair with HR. If you take this any further, I'm going to circulate inappropriate images around the workforce.
I mean, I don't mean to like pigeonhole people in regards to their job roles, but it just sounds like typical salesman behaviour. Sorry for
you. You're the one who's going to get your house burnt down.
And I've worked in sales. I've been there. Hi, Alyssa. Remember me telling you that the guy we recruited a few weeks ago gave off a strange vibe? You may recall I suggested at that time that I thought he may have been in prison or something. Well, it turns out that he has. And not only that, he has changed his name. In brackets, a bit of social media stalking may have gone on here. When we have then Googled him, he has recently been released from prison, having served a sentence for ...murder. I'm all for second chances, but I feel like he hasn't been honest with us. And the fact that he is a convicted murderer, makes me feel extremely uncomfortable. Can we get rid of him?
So this is real.
Yeah.
This actually happened. And the very simple answer to this was yes, we could. He'd only been released from prison a number of weeks before.
Oh, wow.
He'd hidden his identity clearly, I suspect, well, we would hope, in an attempt to secure employment.
Just that.
Well, we don't know. Yeah. We don't know what this guy's motivations were. And it's sort of a surprising one, because when people say, oh, you know, this he's been released having served a sentence for murder, you think, well, why is he still not inside? Mm. You know, but actually murder doesn't always mean a whole life sentence. Whole life sentences in the UK are extremely rare. There's only a handful of people who are serving them. So we do, on rare occasions, come across people who will have served time for a serious offence such as murder, and then obviously are trying to re-enter society, trying to find work. So yes, real scenario, and this was something that we dealt with, as I say, within the last year.
I feel like we're on CSI or something. This one, I really do.
I can see you're excited to discuss this one. You're like, you can't sit still.
There's a lot of like fidgeting going on, yeah. Is sniffing a shirt sexual harassment gone too far? So we've actually got an email in, haven't we? Which I have. I'm going to move the mic a little bit with me. Which I've actually got noted down here. So, hi, Lisa. Hope you are well. Another one for you. As you know, we have recently expanded our services from hot tub servicing to full pool and spa cleaning and servicing. As a result, we've expanded the staff. One of the new staff, Amy, was sent out with a team leader, brackets Dave, to one of our biggest clients. They have an indoor swimming pool, sauna, steam room, hot tub, you name it. She's a very high-profile TV celebrity, you lucky thing, and former model. Amy came to us at the end of her shift saying she wanted to raise a concern. She said when she came back from her lunch, Dave had got in the client's hot tub, though this was before it was cleaned. I'm not sure if that's worse or better. And afterwards, when he dried off, he saw a monogrammed robe hanging up. He took it down, pushed it into his face and sniffed it. Amy said it felt totally inappropriate, made her feel very uncomfortable, and she doesn't want to go out on jobs with Dave anymore. What on earth do we do? Well, I can't blame her, for first of all.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up, can you?
No, you can't.
I'd love to say that this sort of thing, or this kind of nature of query, is unusual, but there really are some individual characters out there, which is what makes my job so amazing when it comes to advising on this sort of stuff. So first of all, what a great email. We've got loads of detail in there. So we know the background of what's gone on. We know that we've got a staff member who's concerned and who's a bit upset by this. And also, we've got an issue here that needs to be dealt with. We've got an employee who has been using a customer's property, so he's abusing his position potentially.
Absolutely.
And also, we've got some conduct in there where we need to have a think, well, Amy's upset about it, but does it go as far as sexual harassment? And, you know, where does all this sit? So there's loads to unpick here. And I'd say really great email. They've given me lots of background here that we can start to unpick.
So you'd include, there's nothing more needed in that from your point of view.
In terms of other things that I'd be asking for, I'd be asking if they've already spoken to Amy in a bit more detail, and also crucially, whether they've already spoken to Dave. Because what I can sometimes find out is if someone has sort of launched in there and they've gone knee-jerk reaction, this is dreadful, and they've gone and given Dave a rollicking, they could well have already played their hand, which means we have to start to roll things back a little bit. So if they've told him, you're going to lose your job over this is disgraceful, they've shown their hand. Really, we need to kind of sit back, take a breath, plan what we're going to do with something like this, because there's loads of issues going on and we need to really, really understand the legal principles here that are in play.
Okay. So yeah, that was our 1 year, you can see my hat snapped. That was our 1 year anniversary compilation. We hope you enjoyed it. Anything from you, Lisa T, before we...
Just thanks for still listening, keeping us going into year two. Lisa T is never going to happen.
I'm so sorry.
Ollie or Dawn, it's not happening.
I'm so sorry.
Even a year into the podcast. But yeah, thank you so much for keeping us in the podcasting business.
Keeping the lights on.
Yeah.
Our baby will hopefully be two, last time you see us in silly hats. But yeah, as ever, like, comment, subscribe, and cheers.
Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even HRER at heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier and more productive workplaces.